All right, are you ready for the word? Woo! Hey, you're waking up. Good morning. Yes, hello, how are you today? Good, let's go ahead and welcome everybody watching on the internet. Good morning, God bless you wherever you are. Absolutely. Let's grab our Bibles, hold those up in the air, and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, we are in a series about prayer. Our desire is in this series is to inspire you to become people of prayer. The more you hear a topic in the Word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God in that in particular area, and we truly want to increase your faith in the area of prayer. We do not want to use guilt and all kinds of stuff that says, man, you're just not doing prayer enough, you should be, you're obligated to, you're this. We do have a responsibility to pray, absolutely, but I want you to see the value of what we're doing so that you will lay hold of it and say, man, if it's that significant, if it's that life-changing, if there's that much power in it, why am I laying it to the side? Sometimes when we start to see the value of something, we begin to pick it back up and we begin to use it properly rather than using it through guilt or fear. Can I get an amen on that? And so my desire is to inspire you, to educate you, to train you. And so today I want to talk to you about intercession. Intercessory prayer. Now, intercession, the definition of the word intercession, to kind of give you a backdrop of what we're doing as we're interceding. Now, real quick, before I give you the definition, let me pause for a second and talk to you that there are different types of prayers that do different types of things. Now, I'm not talking about magic spells and incantations. What I'm talking about is ways of praying that accomplish different types of things. For instance, there are prayers of repentance. Now, that is something where you're asking God to forgive for God. You apologize for something where you've broken the laws of God or the heart of the Lord or maybe somebody else, and you're praying a prayer of repentance. There are other types of prayers where you are praying in an act of thanksgiving or supplication where you're asking requests. And you're saying, God, we need extra finances. Lord, would you help us in this area? God, we thank you for your favor and your grace. Those are supplications. Those are prayers of requests. And intercession is another type of prayer which accomplishes something else. Just like supplication is praying for you and your needs, intercession is praying for the needs of someone else. Standing in what we would call a spiritual gap, which we've been talking about in the last few months, where there are things that God has paid for, things that God wills, and then there's a reality of what we see. There are people who are far from what God has paid for them. There are cities and there are nations that are drifting away from the plans and purposes of God. And so God still has a will where he sits on his throne in heaven. And then he calls on us, his people, to intercede, to intervene on their behalf. Are you understanding? To intervene for them. Why? Because sinners and lost people do not pray for themselves. Yet God still has a will to be accomplished in their life. Isn't our God good? That even though they're disinterested, our country, our cities, even family members who are even rebellious against God, disinterested against his plans or against his will, he is still raising up people that will still pray and bring that will into their rebellious life. That is awesome. Because God isn't willing to write them off. Amen. And so he calls and raises us up. Now, I believe intercession is not a specific group of people that are just called to be intercessors. I believe the body of Christ is supposed to intercede, to stand in those gaps and intervene. So the definition of intercession that we'll focus on today is the action of intervening on behalf of another. The action, it's active. You are praying. You are actively involved and engaged on behalf of someone else. It's important that we make this a part of who we are, because even in Christianity, if we're not careful, the devil can consume our prayer life with us. You know, sometimes you might, let's say you carve out 30 minutes for prayer in your life or in your week or however you do that, daily or whatever, maybe 4 or 5 times a week, and you spend 90% of that time focusing on maybe your sins that you want to repent of. The devil loves it when we spend the majority of our time repenting of something that we could have just said, Lord, forgive me, it be done, and we could have gotten on with the rest of our prayer life. But if you fill that time with this repentance and this moaning and this groaning, and you're like, I spent all my time repenting, you've spent all your time focused on you. You might even have family needs, and you're focusing for your family, and you're focusing for your finances and your future. But who's praying for the nation? Who's praying for the future of our city? Who's even praying for the future of God in our church? Because God has a will and God has a plan, but he needs us to intervene on behalf of others. That's intercession. You know, that word intervening is an interesting word. I looked it up a little earlier this morning just because it kind of popped out last night when I was preaching. I want to say when we intervene on behalf of someone else or something else, that word intervene means this, to come between so as to prevent or alter a result or course or events. And so when we are interceding, we are intervening, which means to come between so as to prevent or alter something, or alter or prevent a certain result or a certain course of events. That's how valuable you are. You may not realize that your intercessory prayers can alter world events, can alter a course of a city, can alter the course of your husband, your wife, your wayward child, your company, your business. Are you understanding? You can stand in a gap. You can pray prayers that actually change outcomes of things that are even greater than you just paying the light bill this week. Are you understanding? That's how important, how valuable this concept of being intercessors. Our world needs intercessors. Amen. And God chooses to partner with intercessors. The text I want to share with you today, I'll read out of, is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 from the Amplified Bible. So it's a little more wordy. I'll have it on the screen for you because I wanted you to read it with, or read it, see it while I'm reading it. The Bible goes on to say this. This is Paul teaching Timothy, who's an up-and-coming young pastor, and he's teaching him how to teach the people of his congregation. First of all, Paul says, I urge that petitions, which would be specific requests, he's beginning to break down different varieties of prayers. So petitions is a type of prayer. That is one with specific requests. And prayers, that's another type of prayer. Intercessions, he qualifies it as separate, intercessions, which is prayers for others, and thanksgivings, there's another type of prayer, be offered on behalf of all people, for kings and all who are in positions of high authority, so that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This kind of praying is good, and it is acceptable, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who wishes that all people would be saved and come to the knowledge and recognition of his divine truth. Now, I want you to link the end of that passage with the beginning. Somehow, these things are all combined together, and it makes sense when you think about it. The praying of God's people, when we pray and intervene and stand in those gaps and we speak those things that are God's will into existence and we stand upon his word and his promises for our communities, for our country, for our leaders, it accomplishes great things. And one of the things it accomplishes, it means all kinds of people start coming to the knowledge of God's truth, which makes our community and our world better because people start to turn from their ways and turn to the ways of God. There is a link, there is a direct link between our prayers and the quality of the society we live in. If you see that verse, again, I want you to focus on the fact that Paul is saying, Timothy, make sure you're teaching your people to be people of prayer. Make sure you're teaching them to pray all kinds of prayers, supplication prayers, personal prayers, prayers of intercession, prayers of thanksgiving, and make sure they pray for all people. And then it begins to classify certain groups specifically. Make sure they're praying for the leaders in their government and local servants. If they pray, it will make a difference in the hearts of those leaders. It will make a difference in the community that you live in. Notice it says, by their prayers, in praying for those leaders, that we all may live a quiet and peaceable life as we all grow to walk in God. Do you see the direct connection there? Yes, we want to pray for our nation, for the sake of our nation, but do you understand us praying for our nation, praying for our cities, praying for our local governments, praying for our principals, our superintendents, our police force, our fire department, all these people on city councils, that as their life improves in God, as they become more aware of the will of God, as their own personal lives and home lives get better, as their own personal choices get better, do you understand all of us live better? Do you see how it all works together? There is a direct link between the quality of city and society we live in and our prayers. It's interesting to me that in our current generation, so few people are still praying for transformation in their communities or transformation in their leaders. We're upset because we feel as if life isn't going good for the body of Christ and the future isn't looking good for the body of Christ. But the principle here in Scripture isn't just be afraid of the future. It doesn't say anything about being afraid there. It says, let's start doing what God has empowered us to do and let's make a better future. And one of the solutions here that we often overlook is our intercession for the people in authority and in positions. Amen. Guys, we have to understand that if we want a better America, if we want a better Illinois, a lot of that's going to depend on the prayers of the body of Christ that lives in this state. It doesn't change just because we're angry. It doesn't change just because we're irritated. Are you understanding? It changes because we lay hold of a will of God and we're the ones that can intervene and alter the course. Amen. Now, I know for some of us, Christianity still seems like a religion where it's just a moral transition, we're just doing good, and you still have not totally been persuaded that things like prayer actually make a difference. It's just religious activity for you. I want to help you see the Bible never teaches prayer as religious duty. It teaches us intercessory prayer is world transforming, is human being life altering. It is weaponry. It is a bridge between heaven and earth. Your Bible doesn't paint that small religious picture that you might have that prayer is some waste of time. If we really believe there is a God, which we do, and we really believe his word is true and let God be true, every man a liar, it doesn't matter if Hollywood thinks our prayers matter. Doesn't matter if people that you think are important and smart and educated think that praying matters. What matters is that God says your prayers matter. Amen. Your prayers matter and they make change and they make a difference. If we want to see a better society, then the body of Christ must pray it into existence. Just because God wills it doesn't mean it's going to happen. We have a part to play. Can I get an amen on that? Now, I want you to see, if you go on in that chapter in verse 8, Paul continually telling Timothy, teach on prayer, teach on prayer, teach on prayer. He says in verse 8, therefore, I want the men or people, all people, in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger and disputing or quarreling or doubt in their mind. What I want to highlight in that verse 8 is this part. Therefore, I want all the people in every place to pray. Why is that a significant line? Because I want us to see in our culture as Christians, intercession is not a clergy responsibility. It is a body of Christ responsibility. Can I have an amen on that? I'm telling you, Timothy, make sure everyone takes up the call to pray. Everyone takes up the responsibility to pray. Do not let them push it off to the pastors of a generation. The clergy of a generation. Oh, that's a pastoral duty. No, this is the privilege and responsibility of the body of Christ. Amen. We are to be people of prayer. We are to own our city, own the prayer for our church, own the prayer for our neighborhoods and our government leaders. We are the ones that are responsible. This is part of who we are as Christians. Some of you have never been a part of a prayer meeting. I was thinking about that this week because I grew up, like I told you a few weeks ago, watching my grandmother pray and intercede. And then I was in a small little Assembly of God church, and we had our prayer room on the side, and we had furniture that was donated to us from Bob's Big Boy Restaurant. Anyone ever heard of a Bob's Big Boy Restaurant? It's one thing I love about small Assembly of God churches. We take anything from anywhere. But the nice part was the furniture kind of smelled like chili spaghetti, which is really good for all of us. because that was their big thing back in Bombs Big Boy. Anyways, but I remember having times of prayer before service, and we would intercede for the service. And I was just a kid, but you know what? I was a part, I believed, of what God was going to do in the lives of people who were about to come. I was playing a greater role. And I know some of us have never been in a prayer service. So today, at the conclusion of this service, we are going to bring you into a prayer meeting. We're going to practice something together, okay? We're going to not just talk about intercession. We're going to have a time of intercession. I'm going to carve out about 10 minutes that you can do this and you can experience this. But for some of you, it may be new. For some of us, the only time we've ever experienced prayer is going to someone else, asking them to pray for us. We've never yet transitioned to being a person that prays for greater things than our own life, than our own world. Now, it's a big deal that you've gotten to a place that you will ask God and believe him to change your own life. But my friends, the same God that will change your life is waiting for you to pray a greater prayer, because not only will he change your life, he is willing to hear you pray to change the life of somebody else. Amen. And this is what Christians must be developed into. People that see a greater cause. There, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us helps us to see deficiency in the world we live in. Now, that's not a bad thing. The fact that the Holy Spirit rises up in us when we see need and we see lack and we see want and we see wickedness, he's scratching us on the inside so that we would begin to change that which we see. We're being bothered on the inside, not just to whine about what we see, but because what's in us is saying that can change. See, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul when he went to Athens, and he saw all these idols all over the place. He was irritated on the inside, but not irritated to stay irritated, but irritated to the point of action. Irritated to get a wisdom of God of what to say, what to do, what to pray to bring transformation in that city. And so there's a reason things bother us. That's a good thing. The bad thing is when we stay in a position of need or lack or being paralyzed by the thing that we see, rather than letting the Holy Spirit take you to the next step, which is now let's solve that problem. Now let's pray the will of God to replace that negative thing that we see in our country, our world, our families, our sons, our daughters. Are you hearing me today? All right. Intercession makes you a part of the process, part of owning the vision of the breakthrough for someone else. In some of those first prayer meetings that I was a part of as a kid, I remember some questions that came to my mind. I used to think to myself, why are all these people so loud in their prayer, in their praying? Why are they calling out? Why is this so vocal? Why is there so much, I would think in my heart, yelling? Now, I know yelling, you know, being raised with all kinds of energetic ethnic backgrounds and things. Italians are not quiet when we share our feelings about something. Okay? But yelling doesn't mean you're angry. Yelling means passion sometimes. Amen. Sometimes what we have to realize is the volume by which we're praying and interceding is we're passionately crying out to God to transform a world. A lost and dying world, and the volume that comes out, it's because what we're praying for designates or relates to something that is meaningful to us, and we really believe that these people are in a desperate place, and our country's in a desperate place, or our church is in a place of great need and needs a breakthrough. And you know what? That doesn't bring to mind some little quiet, private, little shy, little, oh, Lord, please do something. Do you see what I'm saying? Because there's a reality going on in the heart of the prayer. There's something in here that says, God, you must come through. Or there's a volume that comes out of a boldness or something where the enemy's coming in and you're not looking at the enemy trying to come into your city or trying to come into your marriage or trying to come into your family and saying, would you please stop, devil? But do you understand the heart of that, of the intercessor, that volume comes out of a direct belief that this must change, this will change, that there's a business happening, there's a warfare being waged. I'm not playing games. I'm not asking devil for permission. I'm giving you an eviction notice to get out of my family or out of my church or out of my city, and I'm not playing games. And so that volume isn't something that we create to just try to get God's attention. It's not a false thing. It's not like we're praying to a false God saying if we're loud, God will hear us. God doesn't have a hearing problem. But that volume, and I want you to hear that, because when we pray here at the end of this service, I'm not asking you to think about problems. I'm asking you to stand in the gap and transform and bring solutions into them. And there's an intensity and there's a volume that comes with the great belief that's coming out of our mouth, with the passion. Now, it might not always be loud. Sometimes that passion evokes tears. And it might come to a place of weeping in your heart, being saddened and overwhelmed because you're carrying the burden. You're really putting yourself in the place of a lost city, or you're putting yourself in the place of a broken family that you're praying over, or your neighbor who's going through something, and you're standing in the gap for them, and your heart is caught up into the emotion of what they're feeling. You see, that's what an intercessor does. They don't pray for a world as it's separate from it. They take responsibility, and they place themselves inside of the need. And so sometimes it comes out in volume and sometimes it comes out in tears. Our tears in intercession are not trying to bribe God to feel sorry for us so he'll answer our requests. That's the wrong perspective of crying in prayer. The Lord hears us not based on our volume, not based on our tears. He hears us because of Jesus. The volume and the tears comes from the reality of what we're doing. For the change that needs to happen, for the love that's expressed for those that we are praying for, their hurt, their pain, their life to be transformed, because we're not cold and aloof. We feel what's going on. And so the tears and the volume is then there. You know, sometimes I would ask the Lord, you know, isn't prayer supposed to be relational? Isn't that supposed to be devotional and quiet? Why are we so involved in this? And it goes back to, again, a lack of understanding. There are times to sit and just have relationship with the Lord. In your time at home, man, you can converse with God, have a cup of coffee with Jesus. Amen. I'm sure he chooses espresso because it's just better. Some of you don't think God drinks coffee. He wrote a whole book called Hebrews. I'm just saying. But you know, times of intercession is not the time to bring a latte into the prayer meeting. You understand? Because I don't have time to sip on something, I'm declaring something. And so there's a different time. And it's just having an understanding of what's going on in its proper time. Are you understanding? Intercession is the cry of our hearts for God to spare a city, spare a person who's bent on destroying their life, spare a church, spare a neighborhood, spare whatever, spare whatever. Lord, spare. Lord, intervene. Lord, get involved. You see, like I said earlier, many times the people who need God the most are not praying for God to change their life. And so it takes someone else who sees the vision of God for them and stands in that gap and prays that vision into their life. Sometimes you can see it in the hearts of grandparents or parents praying for their kids. Their grandkids or their kids don't see the plans and purposes of God for them, but grandma and grandpa see it. They know the plan and will of God for them. And so they begin to pray what God wants to happen because the people they love don't know better. They don't know enough. They're lost like a goose in a fog. Their minds are carnally corrupt. They think only thoughts that lead to destruction. And so it takes those of us that are connected to life and truth to know what God can and will do, and so we pray, stand in the gap, we intervene for them. Amen. It's not just going to happen accidentally. We need intercessors in this world. Intercession is the cry of our hearts for God to spare, for God not to destroy and bring what people deserve upon their own lives. That's what intercession is, for God to save them from their own consequences, for God not only to save and not only to restore, or not only to save and to stay wrath and judgment, but also intercession is for God to build something. God to restore something in their lives. Sometimes we've limited intercession just stopping wrath from coming. Like that's what intercession is for, is stopping wrath or judgment. But intercession actually has another purpose. It's not just staying judgment and wrath away from people or cities or churches or whatever. It's not just staying wrath away, but it's also bringing in and restoring and building the wills of God in people's lives that they don't know to pray it. They don't know to declare it. They don't know what belongs to them or what God's trying to accomplish. And so it takes someone who sees a greater version, a greater potential, who sees those promises and sees those wills of God and says they don't see who they can become, or that city doesn't see the vision of God for it. And so right now I'm not praying for you not to judge the city right now. We've already prayed that. But now not only we're praying just to stop judgment, but we're praying God to build it into a greater vision. God, do something more than this city has ever seen or believes is even possible, because I believe the Lord has vision for each one of our lives, as also each one's of our cities. And his vision for our cities are greater than what we could put together in some sort of a board meeting or even local government meeting. God even has a greater plan and design for our cities. And so we have to pray that plan and that design into these local cities. So it's not just stopping wrath, it's also a ministry of restoring and building. Truly, intercession is a ministry of grace. That's what you're walking in. We are people of grace. We thank God for the grace message. And an intercessor is a minister of God's grace. Again, what are we doing? When people deserve judgment, we are standing in the gap saying, God, spare them from the judgment they deserve. Do you see that? When cities and nations deserve the penalties of the seeds they've sown. See, because most judgment that happens on this side of the cross is actually the fruit of the wickedness they've sown. It's seeds and laws they've put into effect. Things with their wickedness, with their evil hearts, and then they've deprived minds that have conjured up all kinds of ways to sin and to steal and to destroy. That the nation is on a track, that the judgment coming is the fruit of the seeds that they have sown. Are you understanding how that works? And yet the intercessors try to cut that off and say, Lord, even though we've sown as a nation towards that harvest, God, we're praying for a crop failure and we're praying for a harvest we did not deserve. Are you understanding? See, this is why it's so important that we have the balance of the body of Christ. We do have people that make a clarion call for holiness in a nation and a clarion call for righteousness in a nation. But intercessors are also there to make sure that we don't just declare God's judgment over a nation, because it's not God's desire to wipe out people. God wants to save nations. Are you understanding the heart of God? And so, yes, God must clearly declare truth and righteousness and justice, but then he looks for intercessors to rise up and intervene and begin to build a bridge between a better future than what's coming based on the judgment people are in the middle of receiving. And so we need both. You know, praise God, there are people in the world that feel like they're just the Jonas. They hate the nation, you know, and it's just like, if God saves them, whatever. You know, I just need to tell them they're dying. But then God raises up people that'll intercede, and they don't have the whatever attitude, or whether or not that city falls or that city is judged or those people are destroyed. There are intercessors that stand up and they begin to say, though you've sown towards judgment, God has another vision and another plan. And I pray a greater vision than you deserve or I deserve. I pray a plan over your life that is greater than what is coming based on the seeds that you've sown. See, it's an act of love. You're understanding? Intercession is a ministry of grace. It's an act of love. You must love a city if you're going to be an intercessor. If you hate a city and you just want to pronounce judgment over a city, you're going to be a lousy intercessor. You have to love a city, and you have to see a vision beyond what the city has created for itself. You have to see God's vision for that city, because that's what the intercessor is doing. Standing in the gap, bringing a vision to pass into the lives of a city. You have to love a people if you're going to pray and be an intercessor for a people. You have to love a person. If you're an intercessor for a person, then you have to care about that person. If you're going to intercede for a church, then you have to love that church. And even if a church is going through a difficult time, the intercessor is there to see beyond the difficult time. You see, when everyone else is just stuck in the difficult time, the intercessor is already praying the future and the better rather than what is. May all churches everywhere have people that rise up and intercede for a better vision for their churches, rather than just speaking against their churches, but lay hold of the vision of God for their church. Isn't that good? Yeah. Amen. There's some examples of intercession that I think are key to see as we look through the scripture. Here, real quick before I do that, I was quickened last night to share this, and I'll share it again today because I think it's important in talking about intercession. We must realize God has good plans for people's lives. The Bible tells us, "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. See, the devil has plans for cities. The devil has plans for nations. The devil has plans for you, has plans for your marriage, has plans for your kids. But God has plans too. The Bible tells us that God predestined before the foundation of the world good works that he had in his mind for you to perform. Amen. You'd be saved by grace unto these good works. God has good plans for you, plans not to harm you, but to bring you a hope and a future. God has plans. God has a picture in his mind over your family, over your children, over your city, over your church, all these things. We must understand that. Please hear me. Your intercession is not going to make any sense. God has good wills towards America, good wills towards the United States, towards churches, towards people. What an intercessor does is he knows that, or he or she knows that's the will of God, which is where that boldness or passion comes from, saying, "God, what we're seeing is not what's in your mind." Do you hear that? What we're seeing in front of us right now is not what you see. It's not the vision you have for the United States. And so what an intercessor must be able to do is to be able to set aside what they see with their natural eyes and be able to look into the heart, into the mind of the Father, and to say, "God, I see the better version of a country. I see the better version of my grandkids. I see a better version of my husband or my wife. I see a better version of my church or my city. I see a better version of the economy in my city." Are you understanding this? You have to sell out that God, we think God has judgment, God has wrath. You understand the reason God is so brokenhearted and upset about wrath? He's not trying to bring wrath. The problem is he has a will that we've disobeyed, but if we would have obeyed that will, he has all this vision. And he doesn't change. That vision is still there. And we lose track of it because we're looking at what is rather than what he sees. Are you understanding that? So an intercessor has to be able to have vision to see what's in the mind and in the heart of God. Now, in John chapter 16, Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit coming and he calls him the helper. That word helper in it has the word advocate, intercessor, counselor, standby. Amen. The reason the Holy Spirit is a great intercessor for you and for our churches and for our city, you can just keep the boundaries keep getting bigger and all that stuff, is because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible tells us that no one knows what's in the heart of a person except the spirit of the person. No one knows what's in the heart of God except the spirit of God. Are you understanding? No one knows what's in the mind of God except the spirit of God. Amen. And then the Spirit reveals that mind to us, because it goes on to say that we have the mind of Christ because of the Holy Spirit. So why is the Holy Spirit a great intercessor? Because he has complete revelation of the vision that's in God's mind. Amen. Yes. Did I lose you in that? No, you need a latte? I get it. The Holy Spirit's a great intercessor because he has total access, because the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, because these are the same. And so he doesn't lose track of the full picture that God has in his mind. So he can intercede on our behalf, because though we're living lower than the vision of God for our lives, the Holy Spirit still lays hold of the greater vision, not the current situation. And then the Holy Spirit in the lives of the prayers, in the lives of the believers, can paint a better image, the mind of Christ, give us that mind rather than the mind that would come naturally by just watching our news and reading our newspapers. Are you understanding this? And so the Holy Spirit helps us pray. We talked about that last week. And one of the ways he helps us pray is he helps us to lay hold and see a greater image than what we currently see. And then we lay hold of that image. Remember, you're a bridge between the two realms. You are both spirit. You really are a spirit, whether you want to know that or not. You really are a spirit, and you live in a body. And then there's a soul that is kind of a bridge between the two, your mind, will, and emotions. And so you have a leg in the spirit realm where the mind of God and the Spirit of God is interceding and has a plan and a will. The Spirit of God imparts that wisdom or imparts that vision into your spirit. Your spirit is stirred. It connects with your mind and your will and your emotions about what it is the Spirit sees. And then you pray it out your natural mouth. And it moves from the heart of God and the Spirit into the natural realm. And it begins to then intervene and shape and change the course of destiny. Do you see how that takes place? Are you following me today? Whew. I'm running out of time. But there's some pictures of standing in a gap and things that we need to see. Genesis chapter 18 is a great picture of Abraham who's pleading with God, standing in a place with God where God is about to bring judgment upon Sodom. And Abraham has a nephew there, Lot, and God begins to talk to Abraham about the judgment that Sodom has raised up for itself. Guys, God doesn't wake up and just want to judge people. Judgment is something that God puts off, and he's wanting a reason to not judge. You see? And so God talks to Abraham, and Abraham says, God, if you find 50 people in that city, will you still destroy the city? And God says, no. You stood as an intercessor, and you've asked me to do something, and I will do according to your word, Abraham. And he says, I won't destroy it for 50. And then Abraham says, well, what about 40? And then God says, all right, no, for 40, I won't destroy the city. Well, what about 30? Nope, I won't destroy it. 20? Nope. 10. Surely there's 10 people. Abraham did not have a lot of confidence in Sodom. Let's just put it that way. And God says, for the sake of 10. Now, unfortunately, there wasn't 10 people in that city. But there's some interesting lessons. I can't unpack every mystery of that conversation between Abraham and God. But something that I want you to see that's important is that God heeded the prayer and the request and the declaration of the intercessor. Now, I wonder if Abraham would have went on and said, God, would you just spare the city because I'm asking? We don't know. Abraham stopped. Do you understand? What's the difference between 50, 40, 30, 20, 10? I wonder sometimes if we have not because we've asked not. Sometimes the intercessors have stopped before God would have stopped. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And the other thing that's interesting about that passage is, you know, in ancient literature, it's not uncommon for a god, whatever nation, for a god to bring judgment upon disobedient people. That's a very common theme in all ancient literature in regards to religion and God, for there to be a god that judges based on people's sin and disobedience. What makes this, our Bible, unique, and what makes our God the God above all gods and special and sets him apart, is not that he's a God that would judge wickedness or judge disobedience, but we have a God that is actually looking for a reason to stay judgment. We have a God that has a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, that is not just angry and looking to bring judgment. He's looking for reasons to stay judgment, to bring people into a better place than they deserve. That is unique to any religion, any God that you've ever seen throughout world history. Our God isn't looking to judge. He's actually looking for someone to stand in the gap. He's looking for someone to pray a better vision. He's looking for someone to stand on behalf of a people that don't deserve anything, but he wants to bless them anyways. He still wants to bring a better hope and a future in their life, but he needs someone to get involved with his will. He needs someone to get involved with his heart and help bring it to pass. He wills it in heaven. And the wicked are not receiving it for themselves on the earth. What makes our God so amazing is that he is not looking to bring judgment. He's looking to bring what they don't deserve, even in the Old Testament before Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Can we just celebrate the goodness of our God for that? Amen. Ezekiel 22, there's a whole chapter there where Israel is sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And then at the end of that, they're sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. And God is trying to stop the future that they're bringing to pass because of their sin. And he says in verse 30 and 31 in Ezekiel 22, God says, I searched for a man or a woman among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it. But I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their way. See, it wasn't God's. He didn't conjure up judgment. You understand? Their way have I brought upon their heads, declares the Lord. We see God wasn't looking for reasons to destroy them. God wasn't looking for reasons to hand them over to their sin. God was looking for people who would stand in the gap and give him the ability to bring a better future into their world and into their life. Do you see that? All right, here's what we're going to do. There's all kinds of things I could teach you about intercession. Let me just give you one quick 2-minute thought, and then we're going to get to praying, because I don't want to use all of our time in teaching. I could teach forever on this, but let me move away from judgment and wrath for a second, okay? Though it's important, and I just want to encourage us. Church, we can change the course of America. And it's not just going to happen because of an election. The Bible links the future and the peace of a society to the praying of the people. If we just delegate off our responsibility to some elected official who may or may not get on their knees and pray, you understand that our future, we're connected to the quality of future we want to live. So let us not just complain about the future or think that one election is going to change it. If we elect new officials, yet the church doesn't pray that vision of God into its country, that vision will remain in heaven and we will live void of a better world that we could have lived in. That's a responsibility we have. An elective official, because they're elected, they can't reach into the will of God just because they're elected. Only the body of Christ can reach into the heavens. Are you understanding this? And bring that will into the earth. Elected officials, God's not like, oh, you're a governor or a senator or a congressman or the president. Oh, here you go. It's always going to be the body of Christ reaching into the heavenlies and bringing it to pass. And so we must make sure that we don't delegate our future into some delegates. Our future is in our hands to pray. Thank you very much for your enthusiasm on that. All right, thank you very much. Now, getting away from judgment, getting away from wrath, and then we're going to pray together. I want to talk to you about building. I want to talk to you about bringing capacity. Paul, and you can look this up. I wish I just had the time to read it. It's a lengthy passage of scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 1. And you can read it from 16, verse 16 to the end of the verse. And something that Paul says to the body of Christ in the church of Ephesus, he says, I am constantly praying for you that the eyes of your understanding would be opened, that you would know the power that is both in you and for you who believe, that power is the same power that God showed when he raised Christ from the dead. Now, let me explain to you really quickly what the significance is of that kind of intercession. Paul isn't praying for God to stop judgment in the body of Christ. Jesus took our judgment, praise the Lord. What Paul is interceding for now, remember laying hold of a better vision, is he's interceding for the body of Christ to have the capacity to understand who they are. That their eyes would open, that they would begin to absorb and become what it is Jesus has paid for them to become as they hear it, as they hear it. This is why it's so important that we are interceding for our church services. We are praying for people's capacity to absorb and become the very word that they are seeing and hearing. See, Paul didn't just let it happen like, oh, we're just going to preach sermons and people are just going to be changed. He's standing in the gap for them so that when they hear it, that word doesn't roll off their shoulders. Do you see that? Because the human mind cannot contain the goodness of the good news. It's so good. The vastness of the new image and the quality of person and believer that God has envisioned for your life, the authority that you have, the position that you've been given, the ability you have to come out of your bondage and your darkness into his marvelous light, it literally takes intercession, people praying for you because the message is so good, the mystery is so great, the information is so overwhelming that we're standing in the gap saying, God, help them understand. God, help them digest, help them absorb all that's happening so that their life transforms into the image that they're hearing. Paul is showing us that intercession is not just about stopping judgment and wrath. Intercession is also standing in a gap to help people become something that's greater than they could ever imagine. To help people turn into that image, that will that God has in his mind for their life. And so that's why it's so important that we're praying for every service. We're praying for outreaches. We're praying that the people who've never heard God would be open and ready. See, we're prepping the ground. We're bridging that gap. And we're doing some heavy lifting even before we ever get there. And so that's a whole other side of intercession that unfortunately I didn't get to today. But I want you to understand, you know, when I pray for you on a weekly basis and I stand before God, I pray, God, help that word they're about to hear. May it make sense. Help them to understand it. Help it to take root in their heart. I am praying for you on your behalf so that you become the very thing that's being preached, that God has written over your life. We have to be praying for one another. You can do that for your kids. You can pray that your kids absorb the Word of God. You can pray that you absorb the Word of God. You can pray your spouse absorbs and becomes the Word of God. We don't just come in casually. You understand? We are doing some legwork beforehand to help people intercede and stand in the gap for them. All right. I have a few people that are going to help me in this closing part. Would you come up to the platform if you've been asked to come and help me pray? Church, would you stand up? We're going to pray together. Please do not leave during this time. We're about to intercede and do some praying together. I want to bring you into a prayer service. I want to bring you into a prayer meeting together. I want you to push yourself and to do something that maybe you've never done before. Some of you have never participated in corporate prayer like this. I want you to be focused. I want you to try. I'm going to give three prayer points, three prayer topics. I'm going to open in a 30-second version of that. I'm going to give you a space of about 60 seconds. So those of you helping me pray, only wait about 60 seconds, and then when it's your turn to come up, just go ahead. You don't have to wait for me. Just in your brain, just kind of think, you know, 1, 2, 3, count to 60. And then, man, you just go for it, and then we're going to let them lead us in another prayer about that topic, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to use some volume, not to think about the topic, but to pray about the topic, to speak. When God begins to bring verses to your mind, scripture verses about that topic, speak them out. As God begins to paint a better picture in your heart of what can be, speak life over that situation. You know, we might see death in certain areas of our city or our community, but we begin to declare life. We're going to pray about marriages here in a little bit, families. You begin to say, God, we pray that our region has the highest marriage rate and staying together rate of anywhere in Illinois. You see what I'm saying? You begin to speak a better vision. We know that would be the will of God, correct? We're in the boundaries of the Word in there. God didn't make marriages to fall apart, so we can easily be confident and declare, God, save the marriages of our region. Are you hearing me? So I'm asking you to participate with your voice, not your thoughts, but your voice. And what will happen is as they're leading, you're going to hear people go, amen, or they're going to be like, praise God. What is that? That's us being in agreement corporately. That's not us just shouting out for no reason. The word amen means let it be. And so as they declare something out of their mouth, the congregation responds, say, yes, let that be what they just said. That's why we do that. Are you understanding? We're not fighting them and we're not just trying to make them feel good. Oh, that was a good prayer. I like that sentence. That's not what an amen's for. An amen is, I agree with that, and I link my faith with their faith, and we're believing that that will be the answer. That will be the future that we see. You see that? All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start opening a word of prayer, and then we're going to have three topics. We're going to pray for families. We're going to pray for people in our church to grow spiritually. That was that last point I was talking about, that we corporately can pray and believe God that your future gets even better. Wow, I got really loud there all of a sudden. Did I get really loud? God must really want your attention on that one. A clarion call on that one. All right, and finally, we're going to pray for God to move in our cities and in our country. If you are on the internet right now, I want you to get up out of your chair, set the coffee to the side, and I want you to join us and pray this way. You are with us. We're praying now all over the country together. Are you ready to pray, church? Amen. Now, I am going to push you. We're going to do this for about 10 minutes, and so I'm not going to pull any punches, and you're not going to leave. You're going to do this, and you're going to be better for it. Amen. All right, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. Oh, by the way, you can come to the altars. Why don't you come on up, mix it. Let's get out of our seats. Let's do something different. You can move around. You can go to the corners. You can go to the back wall. You can kneel at your chair if you want to kneel. You can stay where you are, but let's make this different. Let's push ourselves to do something a little bit more meaningful. You can get on your knees. That's fine. You can stand up, put your hands out before God, and let's begin to intercede. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we as people of God, the body of Christ. We're not even Life Church right now. We're part of the kingdom of God. And we begin to pray. We begin to intercede. Holy Spirit, help us to intercede. Help us to see a better picture, a better future, Lord. Help us to see what you see in these different areas. Help us to believe what you believe is possible and to pray from that place. God, right now we start by praying for families. Lord, we pray for our region. We pray for Roscoe and Rockton and South Beloit, Janesville, McChesney Park, Loves Park, Freeport, all the way around Rockford. Lord, we pray for our families. We pray, God, that you would bring families together, that there would be repentance, there would be honesty, there would be apologies, that, God, there would be an anointing, there would be a move, a revival of repentance towards families, that, God, people would say they're sorry in the most genuine, authentic way. That, Lord, people would have ability to forgive great and grievous sins. That, Lord, you would do a healing work in the families of our community. Now, God, we begin to let you lead us now as we pray for families. Go ahead, church. Next 60 seconds, I want you to pray out of your mouth, out of your spirit, as the Spirit helps you pray, as you envision the families and what families could look like. Pray that into our region. Thank you, Jesus.
Families will come together, and that they will grow in the Spirit, and that they have a great summer, and that you will help them with their needs. I pray that whatever they need will come to pass, and I pray that you will help them, that if they need a raise and to get money to help their family to pay off bills, I pray that you would give it to them, Lord. I pray that you will help them grow in the Spirit, Lord. I pray that they'll come to know you better, that your will comes over their life. I pray that for their children, Lord, I pray that they can come together and that they have a great summer, Lord. And that there will be no health problems, and that everything that you want to happen to them happens to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good job. Good job. We're going to pray for our church. We're going to pray for the people in our church. We're going to pray that they mature and that they grow. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we begin to pray for the people of Life Church, Roscoe, Rockford, those watching on the internet, that Lord, as you begin to show us your great and precious promises, you begin to show us the image of Christ, that God, we would become your word's image over our lives. That, Lord, we are not people that are double-minded, washed from every wind of doctrine. Lord, this church and this body, Lord, we are built on the Word of God. That, Lord, we know the truth, and the truth keeps us and makes us free. That, God, we are people that are doers of the Word. We are not hearers only of the Word of God. Lord, I pray that as we talk about being the temple of the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit, that, Father, you help us as Life Church to develop in those giftings, in those talents, in the fruit of the Spirit, God, that you would release and impart the power of God and the anointings for their lives. That, Lord, our people would lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Our people would be able to prophesy the Word of God in their offices, in their families, in their homes, in their schools, everywhere they go. They can speak a living, active Word in Jesus' name, Lord. We pray our people are overcomers. We pray that they overcome sin, they overcome addiction, that sin is dead to them and they are dead to sin, and that, God, they don't stay in bondage. That, Lord, our people are getting better. Our church is not a church where people sit here year after year and stay the same. Our church are growing. We are people who are growing, and we ask, God, you continue to help our people to grow and become what you've paid for them to become. Go ahead and pray that one more minute. Pray that on your own, and then we're going to lead you again into that prayer.
Dear God, I just pray for this church right now. I pray that we would just continue to have your vision, Jesus. It wouldn't be what we want to do, but God, you would implant your vision for this church into the hearts of each person in this room, Jesus, that we would just all grab hold of that, and it wouldn't be something that we just look for, to the pastoral team, but God, we would all take charge in this. God, we would all close the gap together. God, I pray through any transition, any confusion, anything going on in this church, Jesus, that we would just see your name glorified, God, that your Spirit would just come over this building, that people would see us at Life Church, and God, people would see that we're different because, Jesus, we have your Spirit in us. I pray that we would just walk with your spirit in every area that we go, in every place that we run into, Jesus. We would not be afraid to have your spirit in us. We would not be afraid to march forward, God, in the vision and the calling that you have for this church. That it would be something that we're just, God, we're so confident in, Jesus. I pray that we would just continue to have your vision, have your calling, have your anointing over us as a church. In your name I pray.
Amen. One more. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for our country. Amen. Come on, Americans. We're going to pray for our country. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, we pray for a move of God in our cities. A move of God in the United States of America. Lord, we pray that it starts in the house of God, in the churches of Jesus, that, Lord, the body of Christ would get back to authentic Christianity, would get back to authentic worship, would get back to trusting God to do what you've promised to do. That, God, yes, we should use gifts and we should use our talents. And yes, our education is important. God, help us to stop being such a pendulum church where it's either or. But, God, you bring that spiritual leader together in the churches of the United States. And, God, we would take the mountaintops of influence that, Lord, as educators, as political leaders, as businessmen and women, Lord, in the media mountaintops, God, we pray for a sweeping move of God in our nation, and that, Lord, the body of Christ would rise up and use the gifts that God has given them and get engaged and get involved, both actively participating, but also in prayer again. God, help us to lean not on our own understanding and to acknowledge you instead, Lord. Help us to start doing what those biblical principles of warring and praying and declaring and speaking and getting involved physically, both and in Jesus' name.
Father God, we lift up the United States of America, Father God, this nation, Lord, that was founded on principles, Father God, of righteousness. And Lord, we remind you, Father God, and we remind, Father God, the demonic realm as well, that this nation was founded on righteousness, Father God. That is our roots. That is our heritage, Lord God. And Father God, we choose today, Father God, as representatives of the body of Christ, to once again declare and decree that this nation is founded upon the principles of righteousness. And we will not be shifted away from that. We will not be shifted away from that. Not from the White House, not in the court system. And God, we address the demonic powers that have been at work in this region, God, and we command you in the name of Jesus to dethrone yourself right now. We strip you of your power in the name of Jesus. We command your lying tongues to be silenced. And Father God, we establish a pillar of righteousness in the land once again. Father God, we declare and decree that this nation, Lord, is shifting back wholeheartedly to the Father of heaven. Father, we come out of agreement with all the false religions that's been trying to be proclaimed over this nation. We come out of agreement, God, with the acts of disobedience. And Lord, we come into agreement with acts of righteousness, with acts of obedience unto righteousness. And Father God, we resubmit ourselves as a nation unto the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we declare and decree that there is only one true and living God. And that is the Most High. That is the Great I Am. That is El Elyon, the Most High God. And Lord, you are the one true God over the United States of America. And so, Father, we ask for a move, a mighty move of God. Father, turn into hearts, Father, of your people in this nation back unto you, God. From the White House into the Supreme Court, the Congress, the Senate. Father God, into our education system, the colleges, the schools, into the business realms, God, into the medical fields. Father, we ask for a total move of God. Your word says, Lord, in Luke 24:45, that then he thoroughly opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. And God, we remind you of your word, and we're asking that to begin to manifest. Father God, from coast to coast, from border to border, throughout the United States of America, God, Lord, that people's minds would begin to be thoroughly opened up, Lord, to understand the scriptures, God. And Lord, we pray for encounters with you, Lord. Father, Damascus Road type encounters like you did with Saul of Tarsus when you transformed him into the Apostle Paul, God. Lord, that people would begin to be encountered by you. Father, those people, Lord, who have been in their wayward ways, some, Father God, in my generation and those below us, Lord, that have never been brought up in the principles of godliness, Father, we stand in a gap and intercede on their behalf, Lord. Father, extend grace and mercy. Grace and mercy, Lord, like Pastor Kevin said earlier in the message, Lord. Father, there is seeds that have been sown, but God, we command a destruction to that harvest of unrighteousness. And we ask, Lord, for grace and mercy and a harvest, Lord, of righteousness on their behalf. Father, a harvest of blessing, Lord. Give them a hope and a destiny, Lord, that they've never known, Lord. Turn our hearts. Turn our hearts. We call every man, woman, child, Father God, across this land. Father, we speak to their natural ears. We speak to their spiritual ears. And we command you to come open. Come open now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Come open. Begin to hear the voice of the Father. Begin to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit beckoning with love and mercy and grace and forgiveness. Come. Come home. Come home, you prodigals. Come home. Come out of your sin. Come out of your unrighteousness. Come out of your addictions. Come home. We speak, Father God, deliverance to go forth. Freedom to the captives, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Let's give God praise for all that. Amen. 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 All right. Now, if that's something that interests you, we do that every Tuesday night right here in this room. And you're welcome to come and be a part of that type of praying, but you can do it at home as well. And I just want to commend you. You just prayed for 12 straight minutes, everybody. Yeah. Look at you. Look at what you're able to do. And you prayed for other things bigger than your own lives. That's huge. And so I just want to commend all of you for that. And I think that's pretty awesome. Let's give God one more celebration for everything, okay? All right. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. Altar teams, you can stay back. Our altar teams can stay back. If you need prayer, we're up here. Our altar teams will be up here. God bless you as you go. Let's be a people of prayer.